nights, everybody. Welcome in. This is the Music Student Podcast. Thank you, as always, everybody, for checking out the show and giving this episode a listen. If you have not already, please go over to my website, nolanweibeltmusic.com, linked in the description below. I have a very busy spring, everybody, but that means there's a lot of opportunities to come out and hear me play, both as a soloist with other groups, so please check out my dates this spring. All those can be found over at nolanweibeltmusic.com. If you like the show and you want to support it, you can do so over at patreon.com/themusicstudentpodcast, also linked in the show notes below. And over there, you can get all the goodies that come with being a Patreon member for only as little as $1 a month. You can get bonus episodes of the show and all the extra materials that come with it over at patreon.com/themusicstudentpodcast. And finally, if you want to follow me on social media, you can do so at Nolan Weibel Music on Instagram. That's Nolan Weibel Music. All right, everybody, really fun topic today. Like I usually say in these episodes, I try to keep topics relevant to kind of what's on my mind or what's going on with me. And kind of at like this point in the year, I'm thinking a lot about, I guess, like perspective. Because, you know, as someone who still is a student, and obviously this is geared toward all of you out there who are hopefully students, you know, whether literally in school or students of the craft, as we like to say here on the show. But if you're a student in school, this is kind of the time of year where the semester is starting to wind down. And for me, I kind of start looking ahead and I also take a look back real quick too. And I do this just to kind of evaluate my goals. Personally, my goals end up being very, like, I guess like quarterly. They end up being anywhere from like January into the spring. And then the summer is definitely its own thing for me. And then I'll set some from like the fall into the winter. So there's kind of like three or four like little segments that they get broken up to depending on the year and how things are going like that. So as I was looking back, I was thinking about some lessons I thought could be helpful on the show here. And I was thinking a lot about growth. And I'm going to be talking about some keys to growth today. And I use the word some keys to growth because, like I always say on the show, this is not, you know, the 10 commandments of how to grow and be successful as a musician. These are just some things that if someone came up to me and asked, what has made you successful or what has led you to success and things you've been working on, or how have you just gotten better? It doesn't even have to be like immediate tangible success. Just what are some things that helped you grow and develop as a musician, an artist, performer, a teacher? These were some things that came to mind. So I think most of these are going to be kind of through like a performing or a teaching lens, but they're really general and can be applicable to a lot of different things. So hopefully this can be helpful for a large audience of you out there listening. So today I'm going to break down four keys that came to mind for me when it comes to growth. So without any further ado, let's dive in, everybody. So key number one for me is something that I feel like it was one of the first things that really helped me find some success and growth, both in terms of like the short term, but it helped me find some tangible growth, like almost immediately as well. So point number one is saying yes. This is something I feel like I have talked a lot about in the show and through a couple different lenses. I feel like lately I've been really into preparation and I've been kind of trying to, I guess, like give some perspective to all you out there who are very eager to dive into things, that to make sure you are ready for opportunities before saying yes. But if I'm being perfectly honest, when I was younger, there were probably definitely some opportunities that came my way that I was not as prepared as I would like to be. But I was eager and I was motivated and I was willing to do the work to get there. And so I just said yes. And, you know, opportunities are going to happen like that. The ball's going to come your way. Something's going to come up where it's like, hey, I need a clarinetist for this chamber gig I have coming up. It pays whatever. It's with these people. Would you want to do it? And they'd be like, oh, I don't know. I've never really done something like this. It's sometimes good just to say yes and take the opportunity and see where it goes. I feel like if you ask a lot of musicians, that's how they got some pretty big gigs, both in terms of like big teaching gigs or performing gigs, road gigs. Like things just kind of happen the way they happen and you never know when it's going to happen. And oftentimes they happen because someone just said yes to something. And especially earlier on when I was like an undergrad and getting out of undergrad, like a lot of the gigs I got were because I just said yes and I was very eager to be playing music and working it out on the scene and I wanted to be a part of that. So anytime anyone asked me to do anything, I just said yes. Same thing goes with teaching. At one point, I was probably working for wow, at least two, maybe three different like teaching companies. So like companies that employed private lesson teachers, and I had my own studio. And I think I only applied to one of those places. I think the other ones people asked me to apply, or like, hey, they said, hey, check this out. Like, would you be interested? And I was just like, yes, like I want to teach more. I want more students. And so I feel like, you know, if I'm kind of like giving this as a perspective on myself, like there was a good year to 18 months where I feel like things really took off for me. Cause I mean, one, this is where the preparation thing I mentioned comes in. I feel like I did get better as a musician. I was practicing more and taking what I was doing more seriously and getting better at it. But I just said yes to every opportunity that came my way. I just made a decision like when I was like 19 or 20, I was probably like 20. And I think I was like a sophomore, junior in undergrad, and I was like starting to get better. And I said, you know what? I just really want to be out there more. I want to be playing gigs. I want to be teaching, making money, you know, starting my professional career as a musician. And like I said, between like a year and 18 months, I was teaching, you know, dozens of private students. I was getting more gigs, getting more calls. People were looking at me in a different way in terms of a player, as someone who was developing a little bit more quickly. So I thought it was important to mention this just and kind of give this backstory from my perspective and from my experience, because just to kind of hopefully give some of you out there hope, because I feel like a lot of people spend a lot of time practicing, developing their craft and like being ready for opportunities. And then when they come, people don't always feel ready or just willing to go for it, because there's a lot of fear that comes with an opportunity, because there's, you know, potentially risk. There's a lot of unknown things that we don't like as humans, right? But I feel like if you're going to work as a musician, you have to be willing to be okay with that, at least to some extent. And part of doing this is just by jumping in the deep end and saying yes to an opportunity that comes your way. I think the last thing I'll kind of mention about this is that don't judge a book by its cover. Again, very like, you know, generic phrase that I've definitely mentioned on here before, but it's so true. I'll give a quick example of that as well. There was recently a gig I got asked to do, and I was excited about it because it was the opportunity to kind of like jump on the road with the band just for like a quick little 3 or 4 day thing. It was very short. But when I got offered it, it was a thing that I was like, oh, I haven't really done this. I don't really know like how this is going to work. And even now in my career, like I'm in a situation where I do have like a good bit of work in gigs that's pretty steady. I don't have to like, I guess, go out there and forest and hunt as much for my work as I used to, like, you know, as much as 7 or 8 years ago. I'm just at a little bit of a different point in my career now. But regardless, I had, you know, those dates that they called me for, I was open. I didn't have any work. And I was like, huh, like, you know, there's really no reason I should say no to this. I know it's different and not what I'm doing right now, but this could be cool. Let's see what happens. And I will tell you, I even still had that like younger me nervousness where I was like, oh, this is kind of unknown. Like even for myself, like I love saying yes and love new opportunities, but we all get sheepish at times. It happens to all of us. And I had an absolute blast. I got asked to play another gig with this band and it was so much fun. And it was just such like a reminder of, you know what, you have to be willing to take some risk and jump in the deep end and just, you know, go for it, for lack of a better phrase. Like you just have to go for it sometimes and go with the direction, go with the flow with where things are going. So that's point number one here in terms of, you know, finding some growth. I think just saying yes to opportunities sometimes will really lead for the chance and the opportunity to grow as a musician and an artist. All right, so point number two here. Point number two is accepting difficult feedback. Again, a lot of these points I'm like, I thought of were just ones that were like kind of in my early college career that when I think about it, when I started doing these things, I feel like I immediately started seeing just growth in my playing. And I think like that's important to mention for a second here, because I know sometimes things are like, oh, it's about the process and it's going to develop and it's going to take some time. And that is absolutely true. But if you accept some of these like keys and these points here, you will see growth in yourself and in your music making. Because often if you accept these points, it's a change to what your normal habits or like intuitions are. And that's going to lead to some results, hopefully at least. So point number two here is accepting difficult feedback. I think this is really relevant to some of us in school because we all have a lesson teacher or a classroom instructor or someone that gives us feedback. And, you know, maybe it's just really hard to take because maybe it's not what we want to hear, or it's maybe even just not delivered in the way that we're accustomed to hearing it, or just we don't like the way it's delivered. And that's perfectly reasonable. Like I have certainly had teachers like that where I'm like, I just don't really vibe with the way this person is teaching me right now. But I think it's important as students to really always, when we listen to feedback, is to try and put ourselves in the perspective of, what is this person trying to get across to me? How are they trying to make me better? And I think it's good to give people grace and come from it from the angle of, you know, where is the message in what this person is saying? And I really trust that this person is trying to help me get better. And even if maybe I don't feel that way this very second, how can I find something in their message that will help me get better? So for me, it's always about thinking about where they're coming from and what they're trying to address. And I know that could be very hard because some, you know, the reality is some teachers are hard to work with, or they might just not gel with us. The teacher-student relationship is tricky. And I think it's okay to say that, and it's okay to admit that on either end, as a teacher or a student. But I think for us as students, it's really our job to do our best to try and give that person the benefit of the doubt and be like, okay, how are you trying to help me, and how can I better receive your information? Because every opportunity where you're getting instruction or feedback is an opportunity to grow. And I know as students, we might not want to admit that because we've all had those master classes or those lessons where it's like, man, I really didn't like this advice, or I didn't like what this person was saying, or I just didn't understand it. Maybe you were even like, didn't like the vibe of the person. It's like, oh, I don't know why this person was even talking about this or why they even said that to me. It's really easy for us as students to get put off, for lack of a better phrase. And I know some people mention like, oh, you can always learn something from a lesson. And sometimes a lesson is what not to do. And that's true. But I don't always like to say that, even though that it is true. It is applicable. Like sometimes, like, you know, you see someone teach or instruct, you're like, oh, that's definitely not how I want to do that. That's what I learned out of this. Which, like, fine, whatever. But I've started to like throw that aside, because like, even if it's like someone's teaching that totally doesn't gel with you and you don't find it super effective teaching, there has to be something about what they do that you're like, huh, like I took away from that. Even if it's something as simple as like the way they walked on to like the stage or whatever, where they're giving a masterclass. I can think of a masterclass where I went to one and I didn't really love what the clinician was doing. I didn't find it super effective. It's nothing against the person personally. I just didn't think it was super effective teaching. But I have to tell you, like, there was something about the way where they stood with the student they were working on and how they interacted with them while they were playing that I found very respectful. And I was just like, I really like this. And I know that might seem like silly and obvious, but, you know, I've definitely seen master classes where the teacher is like walking around a lot and behind the person and back in the audience. And as a performer who's been in master classes, sometimes I find that super distracting. And, you know, even in this masterclass that I found that was not super effective, there was something small like that I could take away and be like, okay, cool. Can put that in the tool belt. It's like, that's interesting. Like, that's something to take away. And I'm just giving an example. It could be anything from like the amount of audience interaction they have or certain verbiage. There's always something you can learn from somebody. So I'm just really challenging ourselves as students to be like, really look for the positives. You know, if you go through your education, both formally or I don't even know what the other would be, just like in life, always through like a critical lens and like criticizing how people do things, you're really diminishing the opportunities to grow and learn. And so I think if you are really committed to growing as a musician, a teacher, an artist, whatever, you have to look for the positives and give these people, our teachers, some grace, the benefit of the doubt, and try and find the positives in what they're trying to do for us as students. So that's point number two, accepting difficult feedback. All right, point number three here in some keys to growth is called honest conversations with yourself. I love this one, probably because I feel like I can be the stereotypical, I'm just too hard on myself or too self-critical or too much negative self-talk, which is true. And I'm not proud of that, truthfully. But it is something that I feel like has made me better, not like in the direct, like, oh, like I'm just mean to myself, but being self-critical has helped me. And it's a balance, like I'm sure a lot of you know, and there's a lot of discussion about this, I feel like now, in terms of being kind to yourself. And I think that's necessary and super important. But I think, like anything, there's a balance. And I think, like, you want to be kind to yourself, but you also want to be honest with yourself too. And that's the key word here, is honesty. So I feel like a way to start with this is that, first and foremost, if you took like a poll with yourself of, you know, let's say you have some goals or somewhere you want to be in terms of your career or your playing or your teaching, and you're not there, always start with the question why. I know this is the Why podcast. I bring this up like it feels like every episode, but man, I really just feel like it's the key to growth. It's, you know, this whole mindset is how I live. So if you're not where you want to be, why is that? And if you start listing those reasons, how many of those reasons involve yourself? Because usually us, or yourself in this case, is the common denominator. It's not someone, it's not anyone else. It's not someone that gets on your nerves, or this teacher you don't like, or anything else that could have come up, or like a, you know, a personal reason. It's, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's yourself. And maybe, and often, like, I feel like our lack of commitment to what we're doing. And that's hard to take. And it's something a lot of us don't want to admit or want to talk about. But if you're not playing or teaching or doing the thing you want to do at the level you want to be doing at, it's usually because we're not putting in the work, or we're not approaching at it from a way that's effective. Now, this doesn't have to literally mean, when I'm saying this, that you're not working hard enough, because it's not to be accusing anyone, but it's just maybe you're not approaching something the right way. I'll give an example here. There's a friend out there that recently wanted to start basically like a music camp. They wanted to start a camp for high schoolers to come in for, like, it was gonna be a short camp, like a 2-day camp, and they were gonna organize it and have people do masterclasses, clinics, some performances with them, and have opportunities for the students to perform, and I guess like do like some teaching too, whatever it was gonna be. It doesn't really matter. But I was talking to my friend about this, and I was like, how's it going? And they said, I'm really have a hard time getting people to sign up. I only have like a couple people signed up, and this thing is in like a few months. And I was like, okay. And I said, well, what have you done in terms of like recruitment? And they said, well, I made this great flyer and I sent it out to all these like band director friend, people of mine, music directors, and, some teachers as well, but I really haven't gotten much response about it. And I said, oh, well, have you tried like going out to the schools in person and offering like to come and give a little talk about it, or maybe just work with their students for the day, maybe like, you know, sit in on a band rehearsal and then like give, like, you know, say hi at the end and mention it, like just some face to face interaction. And this person was like, well, like I'm just too busy. Like I don't have time to do that. And I was like, huh, like, okay, that's really interesting. And to me, like, I think this person's great, and I think they are going to do that, and I think their camp will be successful. But right to me, like, that was the answer. Like, if you yourself are, like, saying, no, I can't do this, then you're closing the door to an opportunity. I know that's hard, because we all are busy, and it's not like that person is being lazy, right? Like, they've put a lot of work into this camp. They've organized it, gotten people together. They have the dates, the times, everything set up. They've made a flyer. Like, they have put a ton of work into this. But, you know, this is what's hard about what we do. Like, you know, you can't give 85 or 90%. Like, you have to really give 100 or 110%. I know not everyone likes the whole, like, 110, like, going over 100. But you know what I mean? Like, you have to be full on, fully committed, no excuses to do anything what we do. And this goes for not just, like, building a music camp, whether you're trying to get gigs or develop new skills on your instrument, or make connections, or find private lesson students, or even just get a teaching job. It doesn't matter. It takes a lot of commitment and, you know, just going the extra mile all the time to be the most successful. Because when you have like big goals like this, you have to have huge amounts of commitment, and that's just the reality of it. So, you know, again, like this can be a very critical point, and it's not to like make anyone feel bad about what they're not doing. I know that's how I end up feeling a lot. But what usually gets me out to the other side is that, like, okay, like once you accept that and say, okay, I don't have enough people doing this thing. I'll just keep rolling with this example, I guess. I don't have enough people signed up for a music camp because I'm not doing enough face-to-face interaction. Okay, let me go try and do that. And once you accept that and go to do that, you will feel better about what you're doing. Because once you're giving something your all and you're doing your very best, you know, it's this amazing thing. Like, your stress goes away. You stop worrying so much about things because you know you're just doing the very best you can. And sometimes it's still not going to work out. And that's okay. But you won't feel as bad about it and you won't feel so defeated because you will have known you have done everything you can. But to give everything, to give your best and to have done everything you can, you have to like realize and like kind of take stock and be like, did I say no or did I intentionally not do something because I was just, it was too much or because I didn't want to or that was just too far. You have to be aware for that. This point has a lot to do with self-awareness, which if you take anything away from this podcast, I feel like the biggest thing young musicians struggle with is having self-awareness. Self-awareness of how good you are as a musician, as a performer, how good of a teacher you are, why you have certain gigs, why you don't have certain gigs, why things are going well, why things aren't. Man, a lot of people struggle with having good self-awareness of themselves and of their career and of their craft. It's so hard to have. And it, you know, I like to think he gets better with time because he gained perspective, but it just takes a lot of humility and looking inward to just, you know, accept, okay, like this is why this isn't working or this isn't happening. And yeah, it's hard and there's no way around that. And it just can really be tough. But the positive of this, and you know, I'm speaking to this because I've definitely been there, is that there is another side to it and things will start turning up if you start this part of the process, which to me, this is the first part. It's the whole like, okay, why is this not working? And then it's kind of like, you know, you follow the steps, then you accept that, which is also just as hard. Like, okay, I'm not doing this right. And then it's like, you know, things get positive. And now we're on the positive side of this of like, okay, how can I do this? How can I make this better? How can I provide more opportunities for myself? And like I said, it can be anything. It's like, okay, I don't have enough private students. Like, what am I doing to get private students? Like, outside of posting on social media and like texting a couple of my band director friends, what else am I doing? Am I going out to high schools? Am I making flyers and putting them on music studio doors or putting them around the School of Music? Like, what else can I do? What's the next thing? And that type of like hunger of like, what's next? What else can I do? That's the energy that leads to successful musicians. Again, just to keep this somewhere positive, I feel like, this is pretty like cookie cutter and sorry, but I do think it's true. When you listen to like popular TED Talks or like podcasts with like super successful people, I know some of them can be kind of full of it for lack of the better word. But one thing I feel like you see in terms of a common denominator of successful people and successful at anything is that they just keep trying. They just keep seeing what's going to stick and they just, you know, they don't take even the time that I'm spending and like thinking about, okay, this didn't work or I can't do this. Why didn't this work? They just are like, okay, that didn't work. What else can I do? I'm a little bit more of an analytical person, probably too much. I like to think about why didn't this work and how can I make it better? But a lot of successful people, they're just like, okay, what's next? What else can I do? Like, let's try something else. This didn't work. Whatever. Fine. Next thing. And that's just the reality of it. I'll give an example from my life really quickly. Because I know I've talked about this a lot, but again, I'm trying to keep this more positive than I feel like I've been making it. But I remember I booked one of my first gigs for myself. I want to say I was like a freshman or sophomore in undergrad, and I wanted to book a jazz gig at a club. And there was a music venue that was not really catered to jazz. It was more like, you know, high school and early college musicians playing rock or indie music or original music. It was a listening room, so no bar, no food. It was just like bring your own booze, BYOB. Sorry, I could not think of that for a second, but it was BYOB, bring your own food. And like, you know, it had a hard time attracting its own audience for a little while there. And, I had played there with like a rock band, but I was like, oh, I can book like a jazz quartet gig here. So, I got like my sister to play bass. I hired two of my friends to play drums and keys. I got a vocalist to make it more appealing and interesting. I picked out like 20 standards. We learned them, played this gig. And I think like, maybe like 15 at most people came and I was crushed. I thought that was so pathetic and so sad, and I was so discouraged, and I just didn't know what to do about it. I was like, man, I put in all this time and work and effort, and I feel like nobody came. And now I'm like, if 15 people came to my gig that I ran, I would be like pumped, because that's what we do as musicians. We like do our best. And if you're not super famous, you're not on the road, and you don't, you know, play a lot of solo gigs, people aren't going to come hear you if you're not trying to build that. Now I've spent more time to build that, and I know how to better market things and build a show for an audience and how to attract people and how to like work different. Like I have a lot more experience now, so I can hopefully get more people through the door than that. But still, like, you know, you're going to put time and energy into things, and it's not always going to work, and that's okay. You just have to move on to the next one. But, you know, I'm telling this story because, you know, at the time, this was like 8 or 9 years ago, like it was just crushing for me. And I just didn't understand like why didn't this work? Like I tried so hard and this didn't work out. And now like I realize like, oh, this is how this process starts. You have to learn from this and build off this and grow. Because guess what? 15 is better than 10. It's better than 5. And it's certainly better than 0. And that's how you have to look at it as a musician. You always have to look at it as the glass half full, not half empty. And like I said, easier said than done, but I think it really is the key to growth. So we spent a lot of time talking about this, but I think having these honest conversations with yourself is going to lead to just moving on to the next thing and trying again and like staying in the race. And I really think that leads to a lot of growth. So hopefully that's helpful for y'all. All right, my fourth and final point here is really simple. And I try to keep it positive because I know I can get kind of dark about some of these topics sometimes. But point number 4 is finding balance. Everyone talks about this. This is a popular topic nowadays, but I thought it'd be good for me to mention. So when I think about balance, I really want to think about it in terms of the micro and the macro scale. So in terms of like the macro scale, finding balance is just like, you know, let's roll with the examples I've been talking about. A lot of the things I've been talking about in terms of growth that have been on my mind is like, you know, starting your own thing. So starting your own band, a music camp. I kind of mentioned that. I know someone that's doing, getting your own private lessons, whatever. So you're doing your own venture. So, you know, to me, balance is, okay, like you made a goal of like over the next 6 months, I'm going to put this much work into it. I think it's total. I mean, it's hard to say this because nothing ever like stops, but like, you know, let's take an example of private lessons. If you said, okay, from now until like, it's the end of April. Let's say like from now until June, all I'm going to do is try and recruit private lesson students for the summer. I think it's okay in June to chill from that recruiting. Cause like, you know, by then kids are out of school and, you're just going to be doing the teaching. So then just focus on the teaching. You don't have to go crazy about all the advertising. Cause it, like, let's say you're going to do that. You're like, okay, I'm going to get private students. How are you going to do that? You're going to go into schools, you're going to give talks, you're going to sit on rehearsals, say hi to students, print out some flyers, hand them out to those directors you go see, hand them out at local places that'll let you hand them. You're going to post stuff on social media, things like that. It's basically like a marketing campaign for yourself, and you're going to work on those tools. And then you're going to spend all that time hustling for basically, like, let's say you did that like starting tomorrow. So you're doing that for essentially like 5 to 6 weeks-ish. I think it's totally cool to take June and be like, okay, like I'm just going to now like it's kind of like reaping the rewards of the work you put in, ? Like, you know, hopefully you got some students out of that. Even if it's just like you got 3 to 5, it's like, okay, I'm going to teach these students for the summer and just do my thing. If more students sign up, great. And like, obviously if you have the energy and you're not burnt out and you want to recruit more, by all means. But, you know, I think especially when you put a lot of time, money, resources, and energy into something, sometimes it's okay to, like, let it play out, too. Because it's kind of like, you know, building a fire. Like, you can't just keep putting logs on it. You got to put a few on and then, like, you know, get the fire going, let it burn a little bit, then put some more on. It's all about balance that way. So balance on a macro and a larger level there is important. Balance on a micro level, I think, is really necessary, too. And this is about just having things in your day and in your week that kind of like keep you with a sense of like self and a sense of home. So what I mean by that is like maybe it's just a day where it's like, yeah, like this is a light practicing day. Sundays kind of end up being the day for me. Like sometimes I get like some church gigs like this time of year and that keeps me busy. But like Sunday evenings are kind of like my time to rest and recharge and spend some time with my family and, you know, not be practicing or out gigging or doing whatever. Like, I try to keep that time just for me, or for like home stuff. So that's like a weekly thing you can do, for example. And obviously it doesn't have to be Sundays. It could be any day. It doesn't really matter. And then things with throughout your day. This is probably the one I struggle with the most. Having something throughout your day that kind of like gives you some peace and some pause. Some people it's like reading, other people it's like meditation. Again, doesn't really matter. It's totally personal to you, but just things that keep you balanced. And the reason I'm mentioning balance as a point in terms of growth is, it's kind of like the fire is a good analogy. Like, and you just can't keep like putting a fire starter or matches in there, and you can't just put logs on. Like, it has to be a balance of both of those things. People use working out as a good analogy too. It's like, yeah, you can't just do arm day 6 or 7 days a week. Like, you know, you're going to have no balance in your body. Your arms could be dead. And your legs are going to feel weird. It's like one day you do cardio, then you do arms and legs and arms and legs, and you do cardio again. Then you have a rest day. It's, and you know, we do all these things and balance these out because that's what leads to growth. Plants, same way, like water, sun equals growth. And that's what like it needs. So I think you get the point with all these different analogies I'm throwing out there. But balance really leads to growth. And so I know I've made a lot of points here about how to like look inward, look outward, and kind of like take stock of like your world, basically. But I think the one that kind of brings everything together is having balance on a micro and a macro level. And that's really going to lead, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, hopefully to some immediate success. Because once you like make a commitment to some of these points, it's really going to change how you operate day to day. And hopefully you'll really start to see some dividends from this. So yeah, everybody, that's all I got for you today. I hope this was helpful. This is something I feel really strongly about. I could talk about this for hours. If you have questions, let me know. I jumped around a little bit with some of this. So if you ever have questions or want to talk about it, please feel free to hit me up at nolanbiblemusic@gmail.com. All right, everybody, that's about to do it. Thank you as always for listening, and I hope to see you all next time.